everyone, to the Apocalary Podcast. I'm Steve. He is
Reverend Dr. Lawrence Van Beek.
Huh. We went full title this time, eh?
Not full title. There's more.
Oh, you've forgotten letters.
Yeah, EMTCSO.
But you went with the holiest title. Maybe that would be best.
I stayed with the stuff that doesn't matter. Yeah.
That's pertinent to this podcast.
That's right. Yeah.
Lovely. Lovely. Well, folks, it's good.
Class 3 driver's license.
Yes, that's right. And I was fourth in my sports day 100-yard meter in grade 7. Anyway, folks, it is so good to be with you. Larry, it's good to see you, my friend.
Thank you, Stephen.
As always, folks, he is the most attractive man in Christian podcasting right now. I don't care who knows it, but I'm going to say it.
This may be the thing that causes my wife, Lynn, to stop listening to me.
Occasionally we push buttons, don't we? But
yeah, we do.
Anyway, Lair, we're going to talk about Acts 20 today, right?
Yeah. Quite a few names for you to read here, Steve.
Oh, I can't wait to screw up each and every one of them.
Oh, you'll love it. You'll love it. And then, of course, this is the story of Eutychus, which is just a fabulous little story about preachers droning on.
Which, by the way... Paul references this in an hour's long, you know, hours and hours of sermon. We, after 30 minutes, are going, oh my gosh, will this guy ever end?
Oh, yeah. We got about a 24-minute
ceiling. Sorry. We're all looking at our watches. Oh my. You know, I think
in the prairie, Steve, you know when your preacher should be stopping because people are starting their vehicles with those automatic car starters.
Because they're all thinking, man, I think I lost my seat at Ricky's. I'm pretty sure I'm not going to get a good seat at Ricky's now.
Yeah. Got to get to the all-day grill.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, cool. We're going to talk about Paul. We're going to talk about Eutychus. And we'll go from there. So do you want me – I'll just start right in, bud?
Yeah, just read that whole first section there, right up to 6.
Yep. All right, folks. Acts chapter 20, start verse 1. I should be extra entertaining because I've had dental work today and I still got a little bit of freezing. So if I can speak, this will be fun. Verse 1. After the uproar ceased, Paul sent for the disciples, and after encouraging them, he said farewell and departed for Macedonia. Hey, place name number 1 that I got right. When he had gone through those regions and had given them much encouragement, he came to Greece. There he spent 3 months, and when a plot was made against him by the Jews, as he was about to set sail for Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. Sopater. Sopater? Sopater. I like Sopater. That sounds even fun.
That's good. That sounds good. Yeah. Sopater.
Sopater the Berean, Pyrrhus, Sopater the Berean, son of Pyrrhus, accompanied him, and of the Thessalonians, yeah, whatever. And Gaius of Derbe and Timothy.
Oh, no. You missed Aristarchus and Secundus.
Oh, no, I didn't miss them.
I want to be called Secundus.
Yeah. That poor kid in kindergarten had a tough.
Yeah.
And the Asians, Tychius and Trophimus. These went on ahead and were waiting for us at Troas. But we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread. And in 5 days, we came to them at Troas, where we stayed for 7 days.
Okay. So not much really to talk about here. It just Paul, after all of that stuff in chapter 19, you know, he spent some time with the disciples, he moved on, and then he spent time here. But you notice again the plot against him by the Jews. And this is always the way. And for Paul, he starts with the Jewish people. When they go against him, then he moves over to the Greeks. And then he spent about 3 months there before he left again. And then he moves on.
Okay, cool. Picking it up at verse 7. And by the way, if you hear the timer in the background, it just means the pies are done, everyone.
Oh, the pumpkin pies.
The pumpkin pies are done. So, verse 7. On the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul talked with them. Thanked them. A little far. Paul talked with them, intending to depart on the next day. And he prolonged his speech until midnight. there were many lamps in the upper room where we gathered, and a young man named
Eutychus.
Eutychus. Sorry, I'd forgotten how do you pronounce it all of a sudden.
Eucalyptus.
Yeah, eucalyptus. A young man, Eutychus, sitting at the window, sank into a deep sleep as Paul talked still longer. I like that still longer phrase. That's interesting.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was going on.
And being overcome by sleep, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. But Paul went down and bent over him, taking him in his arms, and said, "Do not be alarmed, for his life is in him." And when Paul had gone up and broken bread and eaten, he had conversed with them a long while until daybreak, and so departed. And they took the youth away alive and were not a little comforted.
Isn't that a great story?
Yeah.
Now, as a safety officer, I don't think you should have an open window on the third story.
Just saying, that sounds like a bad idea.
That's not a good idea. Yeah. No, it's interesting that Luke says there were a whole bunch of lamps lit. So maybe he's suggesting that they were taking the oxygen out of the room, so that therefore he fell asleep.
Yeah.
However, he is sitting in a window. So, you know, there's got to be enough oxygen there. The main thing was that Paul just kept on talking. And I don't know what time they started, but then he says he prolonged his speech until midnight. So you're hours into this thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the young man falls asleep, and then he falls down and he's dead.
Yeah.
And then so Paul wraps his arms around him, and this is the miracle, right? He comes back to life.
Yeah.
So it's not considered a mistake. They didn't think he had died. They actually knew he was dead, and that when Paul gathered him up, he came back to life.
Yeah, I love the way Paul says it. It's kind of like, hey, no. It's a Princess Bride thing. He's just mostly dead. He's not dead. He's just mostly dead, right? Because Paul says, for his life is in him, right? You there?
Are we good?
Oh, now you're back. Okay.
Oh,
we
had a little stall. Yeah, we stalled.
So,
because if he were all dead, there's only one thing you can do.
Yeah, that's right. That's
go right. Through his pockets and look for loose change.
That's right.
I said that once on the ambulance, but though my partner found it very funny, it's not something you should be saying on the ambulance.
Occasionally, you can't put the pin back in that grenade, right? And then I love that English idiom that the ESV uses that says that they were not a little comforted.
Yeah, isn't that a backwards way of saying it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and that's a Lucan thing too. They were not a little comforted.
Yeah. Okay, well, cool. Picking it up at verse 13 then. But going ahead to the ship, we set sail for Assos, intending to take Paul aboard there, so he had arranged, intending himself to go by land. When he met us at Assos, he took him on board and went to Mytilene?
Yeah, Mytilene sounds good.
And sailing from there, we came the following day opposite Cilios. The next day we touched at Samos.
Uh-huh.
And the day after that we went to Milios.
No, it's Miletus.
Miletus. The heck? For Paul had decided to set sail past Ephesus so he might not have to spend time in Asia, because he was sick of it. No, I'm sorry. Yeah,
fed up with those Ephesians.
For he was hastening to be at Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost.
Yeah. So now this is just it's a funny thing that Luke is just, at this point, just accounting Paul's journey.
Yeah.
Like, he's really not saying anything special. He's kind of building for something that's going to happen. And that's that Paul wants to be in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost.
Yeah.
And actually, Paul getting to Jerusalem is a key part of this story.
Right.
And you remember you were talking about the defense of Paul.
Right.
And this may be something to do with that too. Because, you know, why does he end up in Rome? Because he was rushing to get to Jerusalem. Not to do anything this bad, but to get there for the day of Pentecost.
Yeah, because he wanted to be there on the day of Pentecost, yeah.
Yeah, I still don't see this book being a defense of Paul.
No, well,
if you were leaning in that direction, that could do it for you.
Yeah, well, and what does N.T. Wright know, for crying out loud?
Well,
Is his last name Van Beek? I don't think so.
No. Is he still working for a living? I don't think so.
Okay, verse 17. Now from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. When they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time." Whoops. From the day.
By the way, a little side note here. I think the word used here is parousia, them coming to him.
Oh.
It's sort of like the parousia. They come to him and then they bring him back with them. So kind of interesting, but.
Yeah,
I'm not 100% positive because I didn't read that in my Greek recently, but
it's not just a visit; it's actually a visit and come with me kind of thing.
Yeah, that type of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, cool. I picked you up at the airport. That kind of thing.
Yeah, but parousia is a big thing when you're doing Revelation with the second coming and the parousia and stuff.
I get you.
Yeah, and so post-trib people, they talk about the parousia because they would say, well, sort of like the Ephesians when they went to get Paul, they went to get him. And then they came back with them. So they say, well, the rapture happens at the end of the tribulation. We go up, meet with Jesus, and then we all just come back down.
Yep.
So that's just a little meaningless thing I thought I'd throw in there.
No, I don't think that's meaningless at all. That
well, thanks.
Puts it in context, my friend. And when they came to
him. This is probably not the passage after all that. But
no. But nobody but you and I know that. I mean, who's. Oh, hang on. We're recording this, aren't we?
Never mind. We are. Someone could take the time to look it up in their Greek text.
Yeah. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying to both Jews and Greeks of their repentance toward God, and of our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend to you God and to the word of grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among those who are sanctified. I covet no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who are with me. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.' And when he had said all these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. There was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would never see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship."
Long speech, eh?
Long, but it's a very majestic Paul pouring out, "This is why I did what I did."
Yeah. And now he is preparing himself to go to Jerusalem. Do they not say... They by the Spirit tried to stop him.
About 22, is this what you're thinking right here?
Yeah. So he's talking to them about how he ministered to them, right? Mm-hmm. And then he tells them, now listen, guys, I'm constrained by the Spirit to go down to Jerusalem, not knowing what's going to happen to me, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. Pretty interesting stuff, isn't it? Like I've got to go down. I got to get to Jerusalem. Hmm. I don't know whatever this is about, this is where I have to be. And bad things are awaiting me. Remember when he was in Corinthians, when he was in Corinth, just in about two chapters ago.
Yeah,
he spent 2 years there. God had to say to him, Paul, no one's going to hurt you here. Remember how he was?
Yes.
He was at a point in his ministry where he said, I don't think I can keep doing this.
Yeah, anymore. I'm done. I've had enough, right?
Yeah. No one here is going to hurt you. They're going to, you know, you're going to have to write letters later. They're going to treat you like crap, but but they're not going to hurt you while you're here. And now he comes to this point. He comes to the Ephesians a little bit later on. It's a few years later on, but a bit later on, he comes to Ephesus, and he tells these guys, I got to keep going, man. I got to get down to Jerusalem.
Right.
Yeah, I don't count my life as any value or as anything precious. I just want to finish the course that I might receive Jesus. Is that what he says? You flipped it on me. There.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Sorry, I realized that just.
If only I may finish the course that I've received from Jesus to testify of this gospel. So he's saying, listen, I've got this thing to finish.
Yeah.
And no matter what happens to me, I've got to get this thing done.
It's really quite a beautiful discourse, isn't it? Just to go, I've left everything out, gang. I don't know what else I could have done. I was faithful to minister to what God has called me to do.
Yeah. Well, one of the church fathers, when he was going down to be martyred, and it was either Ignatius or Irenaeus. I can't remember which one now. And he said, he kept saying, I'm looking forward to going to this death that he was going to. And people called it a martyr complex, right? This idea of wanting to die for Jesus. And I don't know if he was wanting to die for Jesus or if he was just preparing himself for that eventuality. I couldn't tell when I read it which way it was going.
Right.
You know, it was also my chance to let you know that I read these church fathers, so that you would that you would be very impressed by me. And I probably didn't read them. I probably just heard my teacher say it somewhere along the way.
Oh, no. Oh, no, hang on a second. Hey, we're going to have to edit that out. No, I'm just
we'll have to stop that.
Get that in
but
post.
Paul then he says to them, look after yourselves and pay attention to the flock, which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church. So it's funny, his mind goes right back to the people that they're ministering to. Yeah. I got to go on and do this thing. You guys are staying behind. Make sure you look after this stuff for me.
Yeah. And that he describes those that are going to come from within the church as both twisted and as wolves, right? You know, like just that will come, yes, not sparing it, you know, just seek to destroy.
Yeah. And when you start reading the later authors, like actually the Gospels are written later, but some of John's writings, he's talking about these very people coming up in the church. Hmm. He talks about, you know, you know that there's an Antichrist coming. You've heard there's an Antichrist coming. I tell you, they are already here. Mm-hmm. And he changes it from a single person Antichrist to people that go against the gospel.
Right.
That are false prophets in the churches.
Right.
And so they had it in this day, right? They had all of that kind of stuff very early on in the church. As soon as there was something to be made of this, as soon as there was money to be made, these people start coming in.
Right? Yeah.
Like today.
Yeah, really, right? So there is truly nothing new under the sun. It's just all the same things.
Yeah.
And I must say that I also love, you know, Paul saying, you could almost see him holding his hands out in verse 34 going, you yourselves know these hands administered to my necessities. I worked for what I'm doing, right? Like I've worked to get here.
Yeah, and this is probably before he wrote Corinthians, but he had that issue, right, where they were, you know, like they made fun of him. They made fun of the way he lived his life.
Yeah.
And he had to defend himself. And this time he's saying, I never stole anything from you.
Yeah.
I worked for everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he did, right? He did. He did his tent making thing and he always made the money. Hence there are churches today that believe that ministers should not be paid, that they should just be part of the congregation. They should be working for a living and ministering, right? But they're missing things like Galatians where Paul says, you know, a teacher deserves to be paid.
Yeah.
And like, basically he was saying, pay your pastors, man, you know, And so he was saying, I'm working for it, but I'm not saying that everybody should be doing this.
Right, right.
So, and I think some of the churches where the ministers, you know, they spend all their lives working, it may work out really, really well, or they may be missing. You remember the apostles in the early part of Acts, as soon as there was enough things going on that they could devote themselves to the word and to prayer, they backed away and they did that. And other people look after them.
Yeah.
So we got to be careful with Acts, not to take our reality and then push it upon Acts and then make it say what we want it to say.
Yeah.
So I do like very much that he says, look, I worked with these hands.
Yeah.
It's more blessed to give than receive.
Yeah.
Boy, we hear that a lot, don't we?
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. And then he knelt with them and he prayed with them and then he wept with them and he kissed them. Yeah, way too much contact for me, Steve. like I want to speak from, you know, maybe from the platform and then, you know, give a royal wave goodbye. And that's what our gospel will be saying. And Larry and Steve, you know, emailed them a goodbye.
Posted something on social media and said, thanks.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks. We're out.
Yeah, peace out. Yeah. And drop the mic. And then that's it.
Yeah.
Being sorrowful, most of all, because of the word he had spoken. And they were very sorrowful about all of this. A little bit later on, he's going to have this same kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, he's going to have it a couple times before he gets to Jerusalem.
Right. Yeah. But it's, you can just see a very movie-like ending being portrayed here. You know, Hollywood would have a great time portraying this as a longing look in between, you know, Sam and Frodo or something like that as they sail away to White Shores. Yeah.
Which is absolutely amazing. My daughter said to me, she said, actually, for Tolkien, Sam was the hero of the story.
Yeah.
And I did not know that. So
yeah.
I hope she was right. Cause I just said it over in my podcast.
We've blessed it. Therefore it is.
Yeah. So.
Well, folks, thanks so much for being with us. We hope you've enjoyed that journey through Acts 12 or 2012. And I hope you've enjoyed my inability to pronounce many things today. But Lara, as always, thanks for your wisdom.
And it's actually that part of this that makes people come back.
Yeah, I know.
How is he going to pronounce that today?
Oh, heaven help us as we listen to this. Anyway, thanks for being with us. We'll see you in probably about a week's time, Lord willing. And until next time, this has been the Apocalypse Podcast.